Welcome to Guts Church On Demand. And now, let's go on demand with Pastor Bill Shear.
How many guys brought your Bibles? Anybody ready to get in the Word? Hey, listen. We have to supply information and inspiration, but here's what we're believing God for today. Transformation. Okay? That you're changed from the inside out, that everything becomes new for you. See, I'm a sovereignty of God guy. I'm not a sovereignty of God guy like most of them. There's people that'll say, well, you know, that cancerous tumor, that was just the sovereignty of God. Can't change the sovereignty of God. I do not agree with that. Matter of fact, I say bull to that, okay? I call bull, and I'll get stronger if I have to, maybe tonight at the men's meeting. But, man, I say bull. The sovereignty of God is that we're transformed into the image of his son. And that's what God's will is for us to, for our lives to be transformed by the and our minds to be renewed and our lives to be transformed. And so these services, they're informational, they're inspirational. Let's welcome everybody watching It's God Took. You guys want to? Huh? Man, people getting their lives changed. Man, great things happening in Sky Took, I'll tell you. And watching all over the internet, wherever, all parts. But informational, inspirational, and transformational. That's what I'm believing God for. And in Matthew 16, that Jesus was meeting with his disciples, and he said, who are they saying that I am? And they all had different opinions and different things. And then he turned to Simon, and he said, Simon, who do you say that I am? He said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. He said, you answer rightly. And then at verse 18, he said, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades won't prevail against it. See, I'm starting a series, it's going to be a three-week series on relationships. And simply these relationships is that based upon, man, that's the quality of our life, is the quality of relationships that we have. And Jesus said this, he said, look, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades won't prevail against it. You know, the church is, Jesus is taking full responsibility concerning his church here. He's taking full responsibility. And that to me is the mark of a man. Any men in here? Well, men in here, especially men who are leaders, and every man here is a certain type of leader. But my simple working definition of a man, it's just there's two simple little parts. And it's, you take the hit, and you take responsibility. That's what men do. That's who men are. But you know what, man? We built a society, we being just a part of it, but we have a society out there where all men are trying to do is duck their responsibilities and not take the hit. So you know what? They live our lives making excuses and giving explanations for why we didn't take the hit or why we don't take responsibility. Man, too many men want to pawn off the responsibility to their wives. Too many men wanna not take the hit for a job well done or a lack of work ethic or whatever that it might be. But those two simple things, and I'm just telling you, I'm gonna keep it really simple here. That's who we are, man. That's what we're about. We'll take the hit and we'll take responsibility. See, that we've got to be soldiers in God's kingdom. But here's Jesus taking responsibility. He said, look, I'll build it. Jesus himself supplies the foundation. He says, upon this rock. See, the rock is the truth. The rock is God's word. The rock is God's promise. He says, upon this promise, I'll build my church. Upon this word, I'll build my church. And it's the rock. You guys have heard, the Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust alike. But let me just tell you, that storm, your foundation determines how that storm affects you. That's it. Same storm's going to hit all of us. But where your foundation is will determine, man, what happens. Bible says if it's on the sand, anything that'll shift, anything that'll change. And you know what? It's a lie then. The root definition of a lie is anything subject to change. So if that's it, the Bible says the fall or the ruin of your house will be great if it's built on the sand. But if it's built on the rock, guess what? You'll stand. And see, that's the whole idea here. The premise of our life is that we're built on the rock and not on the sand. Nothing that'll change. So Jesus supplies the foundation. He promised to build us. He promised to build his church. We're the church. He promised to build us. Man, we've got to, I mean, there's something needs to kind of seat here. This is one of those things that if you just treat it as informational, it'll be that. It might even come up in conversation once in a while. But if you allow it to be transformational in your life, man, it transforms you into the image of God's Son. He took ownership and called us his church. He declared there'd be an adversary. There'd be an adversarial element. And you know what's funny? Is he doesn't say that the machete of Hades won't prevail against you. He didn't say the cannon. He said the gates. The gates won't prevail against his church. We can't be passive in this life and get through the gates. The enemy is a gate that we have to initiate. We have to activate. We just got to go through the gate. And see, and that's the understanding that we have to have. And he said that the adversary won't prevail against us. He promises us victory and triumph. There are too many people living in victory for us to even think, wait a second. Are you sure that's real? It's absolutely real. God's no respecter of persons. He's not gonna bless Joel and not bless Bob. Man, I'm telling you, his blessings, his promises, man, his mercy's new every morning. So don't be using your past failures as reasons why you're not living in victory. His mercies are new every morning. This thing is airtight. And it's so simple, it's simple enough for the smallest child to understand. I'm just telling you, you have not made a mess of your life or in your life that God isn't prepared to clean up right here, right now, today, and make everything brand new. Man, that's the relationship that everything here starts with. Our life's quality is based upon the relationships that we have. Man, you'll see things, you'll read things, man, you show me your friends and I'll tell you what kind of life you have. The Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. Man, we were thick as thieves. I had a group of friends, a whole gaggle, an amazing group of guys, friends of mine, but we weren't Christians, weren't serving God. I gave my life to Jesus. It's like, oh my gosh, what am I gonna do with these guys now? You know what? There's a certain part of it I had to separate myself from. The Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. You know, it's interesting with our children, especially our oldest child, who's a son. Man, he'd come home and he'd say, man, what'd you do? Did you have fun? I didn't care if he had any fun. I didn't care what he did. And you'll say, that's odd to not care what your son did. No, I didn't. You know what? There were two things I did care about. Where'd you go and who were you with? Because let me tell you, if you're in the right place with the right people, it's going to be awesome. You're at the wrong place with the wrong people. Anybody bear witness with that? No, and it's, you know what? It's those parents that will say, well, you know, my kid's a good kid. He's just hanging around with the wrong people. And finally, I ask parents, just because it's fun, when does your kid become the wrong people? Because at a certain point, man, you keep going to the wrong places with the wrong people. You're the wrong person. But see, we've got to understand this and look at it. You fellas in here, you girls in here, man, this isn't just for our kids. Man, if I go to the right places with the right people, let me just tell you, life's going to be awesome. Man, that's why the word says one day in his house is better than 1,000 elsewhere. You know what? But see, if your flesh is governing you, your popularity is governing you, if your social life is governing you, if you want to be one of the cool kids, man, that ain't going to happen at church. Church is not going to make your popularity just to soar. Matter of fact, you go to church, the Bible says, beware when everybody speaks well of you. Because evidently you're not separating yourself from the pack the way the word commands us to do. But see, we look at our lives now and we're the church, man. He's building us. Man, we are valuable, valuable assets for the kingdom. We've got to take care of this. Man, we've got to live our lives. We've got to live our lives as those who win. And it doesn't just happen. It comes by our lives. I am not the same man I was a year ago, am I, Sandy? I'm not the same man I was 30 years ago. Man, remember those guys 32 or 33 years ago? Man, they were just saying, oh, Sheer, it's just a phase. Well, it's been a 32 and a half year phase. But it's not going to happen just because I get the information and I have it. It's not just going to happen because I'm inspired, but I am. It's going to happen when I'm transformed in the image of his son. You are who you hang around. Man, that's why we pray every day. Sandy and I pray every day about Guts being a life-giving church. Life forevermore. Blessings, honor. Man, that's what we speak about everyone's life in here. Man, the Bible says, don't murmur or complain, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. I can't be around people that gripe all the time. I can't be around people that find negative in everything all the time. Man, I'm just telling you, and I'm not going to be around people that are just, man, but that are in denial, although people in denial are probably happy people. But you know what, man? We've got to really watch what we hear and what we see. We've got to really guard our tongues. Man, what we're saying. Man, I'm around people that speak filthy. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication come from your lips. Do you know what corrupt communication is? Sexual talk. Stop it. Stop talking sexually. Stop telling sexual things. Stop doing that. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication come from your mouth. Man, I'm just telling you, the bottom line with this is it's very simple, but the strongest thing on the earth. Our life's quality is based upon our relationships in our health. Man, our physical lives, our mental health, our emotional health. Man, the health that we have emotionally, our spiritual health. Man, it's determined by the relationships that we keep. Man, there's some people, it's great, man, I love them, I care about them. I'll talk to them once in a while, but guess what? Man, I've got to keep that at bay. I can't let that into the core of my life. See, there's concentric circles in our lives. Just like there's concentric circles in a church. Man, there's the community, and man, those are people we want to reach, and that's the outside circle. And then there's a concentric circle inside that's the crowd. Man, the crowd, the people that, man, you guys that are visiting here, you're a part of our crowd. Man, guys that are watching on the internet, man, you're a part of our crowd. Man, people that come to our events, people that come to Friday groceries, whatever it is, man, they're our crowd. And then there's people that this is their church. Man, they tithe and they're active and they serve. And man, that's the congregation. Man, the congregation of the church is, man, it's people that, man, they talk about this church. Man, this church, it's my church. I go to church now. I'm a part of a church now. That's the congregation. But then there's two other concentric circles inside that. The next one's the committed. Man, the committed is, man, people that, man, no matter what, man, church is bumped up to, man, a high priority in their life. Man, God's first, and man, their spouse and then family second, and the church is third, and then their work, and then their friends and other things. But the church is up there. Why? They're committed. The cause of Christ becomes what they breathe. But then inside that is the core. And the core is who takes responsibility. Truly takes responsibility. This isn't just where they serve. This isn't just where their affections are. This isn't just what's comfortable or familiar. The core, if we change the whole set and the music, and which I appreciate, by the way, great job today. But that stuff doesn't matter. And in for life, that's the core. And that's who the same concentric circles apply to my life. I've core people. Let me help you. With Sandy, I'm in for life. Period. My children, man, the Houstons, the Englishes, so many people in the room. Chris Hart, I'm in for life. Molly married Chris, I'm in for life. See, it doesn't say, well, that's not what I bought into. Here, can I just be frank? You guys mind? We're amongst friends. So much of what I have to deal with and what I go through, I didn't buy into it. Let me tell you what, I made a choice to follow the call of God on my life because it was Happyville. Everyone's gonna love you. Everyone's gonna appreciate you because you pray for them, you lead them to Jesus, and you give them money when they need it, and you help them. Man, you tirelessly and relentlessly pursue information that'll transform their lives. Get up and spend every amount of energy I have preaching to be inspired. Man, people are going to love it. Everyone doesn't. But it's like, oh, well, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. I skipped that part when I signed up in my heart for ministry. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And a resource, the reach of our life, that's determined by the relationships that we have. Man, that's financially, it's materially, it's with an influence. Man, I want to be around world-changing people. And I'm not talking about CNN world-changing people. I'm talking about every man's world-changing people. Man, because let me tell you, at the core of this church, we started reaching young people. We started reaching people that weren't attracted to traditional church, people that kind of counterculture church. Never was it meant to be that, but it was because we want to reach unreached people groups, unreached people, every man's world. And you know what? What hit me is I'd sit in pastors' meetings and pastors would say, they're just people in America today that are unreachable. Undadgum reachable. And I'd think, that's who I want. And I started translating in my heart, like church is like recess. Now you guys are getting credit for this. This ain't going to your degree. This is recess. And I remember, how many of you guys remember recess? How many of you guys did not understand people that weren't excited about recess? You guys are weird. No, I want to stay here and learn. Yeah, your shirt's probably tucked into your underpants too. How many of you guys knew those people that their shirts, they bend over in a band. It's like, you get your shirt tucked in your underpants. And now what I've realized is there's no real dad at home to help them with that stuff. Any of you guys in here got your kids you tucked in your underpants? And I'm a huge time tucker, aren't I, Taylor? I love to tuck, don't I, Sandy? I got my sweatpants on and, man, I tuck them, man. I'm tucking. Do not tuck them in your underpants. No, but you go to recess. How many of you guys remember recess? You're going to be here all day. You don't start laughing at my jokes. And I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. I'm working my tail off up here. You will laugh. Okay, so you get to the place where when you recess and they say, okay, and I'm watching the clock. How many of you guys used to watch the clock? And if you were a kid in the 60s, that clock went like this. It was brutal. Nothing digital. No, they'd stutter sometimes, those clocks. And let me just tell you, they're evil people who ran schools at that time. You know why? They had the teacher. I had a teacher that wore a cotton glove because she was allergic to chalk. How weird is that? Why would they let anybody teach children that wore a cotton glove because they're allergic to chalk? And she's up there talking, and oh my gosh, awful, a terrible human being. No, and let me tell you, Miss was her first, was her deal. Miss something, and she was old. Miss, it translates. No one could live with her. Almost said her name. Cybered. But the clock's right above her head, remember? She's up there talking, and there's a clock right above her head. And it's just brutal. Mr. Shear, you paying attention?
Yeah, I'm tuned in.
Recess is in 6 minutes. And then it gets under a minute. And you're just believing that Chucky Phillips is not going to stick that crayon on his nose or whatever it is that he's doing that would sabotage recess. So finally, it gets to the point and the bell's about to ring. And the bell rings and your heart is beating out of your chest, right? Isn't that right? The teacher says, okay, close your books. There's not, my book was not. That book is just in the way. Everyone, line up at the back wall. No running in the halls. It was evil. Your heart is just no running, and you got to walk like this. And you're hoping nobody's going to jack around. And hey, and you get to that door, and there's daylight. You're tearing to get out on that playground. You know, there's some people that go and they hang out by the wall. Those people are Methodists now. That's funny. But not me, man. I'm tearing to get out there. You know why? I want to be first pick. You know why? To win at recess, you had to have Nora Whitaker on your team. She was this tall and this wide, African-American girl. I asked her one time, I was like 7 years old. I said, Nora, why is your skin darker than mine? She goes, I don't know. She said, maybe I'm just out in the sun too much. Okay. It was good enough for me. But you know, you look at this and you had to have Nora on the team. Nora was my first pick. Nora, let's go. You just take whoever you want. Give me the rest of them. We'll whip the fire. That's how church is for me. Man, church is for me, man. You're in life. Man, my heart's beating out of my chest. You know why? Man, everything I learned at recess is what I live by now. Man, it's the whole idea of life. It's robust. It's exciting. Every day it's exciting. Man, what are you playing? It doesn't matter what game you start out playing. It turns into hit the man with the ball. And that's what this is. But it's all relational. A healthy church is based on great relationships. And a strong church can't be based on fractured marriages and relationships and sketchy people. And it's got to be forthright. Let's talk just for a minute about the core foundations of relationship for me. And it's interesting because there's probably more educated examples of this that you can come up with, but that's for when you teach your relationship series. But the foundations of relationship for me are number one, priority. It always starts with priority. First things first. That's every core relationship of my life. People have their priorities are in order, and I'm telling you, that's where it all starts. And you know what? God first. I'm telling you, God first. Keep God first. Our relationship with God is made right through Jesus. We all know that. Our covenant with God is now established through Jesus. Never through what I can do. Never through what I bring to the table. The arm of the flesh will cause us to always be looking for the answer when Jesus, we know he's the answer. We know God's word is the answer no matter what. God is the answer. So number one is priority. Number two, and this is going to be interesting, it's dependency. I thought about this. Every relationship I have, core relationship I have in my life, the people are dependent upon God. Completely dependent. It's not just Christians. It's people that are completely dependent a true relationship with God, and this is covenant. But the covenant with God is I'm dependent upon him. It's nothing about me. Nothing that I don't bring to, without him, I can do nothing. And I'm not just saying that because of the job I have or the vocation I'm in. I say that just because that's what my life is. Without him, I can do nothing. And it's huge. Number three is integrity. And I've got a different idea about integrity maybe than the textbook definition. But my working definition of integrity is you get help as soon as you need it. I think that people lose the integrity battle because they wait too long to get the help they need. And I think that it's huge. And our help comes from above. Three simple words to have great relationships in your life and a healthy life of relationships is get godly help. And here's what the Bible says. There's not direction in a multitude of counsel. There's safety in a multitude of counsel. Man, you get into unsafe places because you don't have good counsel in your life. Godly counsel. Man, word in season kind of counsel. Too many people live with unhealthy conflict in their life and strain and strife for too long. And where there's strife and contention, there's every evil work. You know, it's interesting in the Greek for every evil work, it's actually a spiritual raping. There's strife in your home. You guys sit down and go, well, you know, there's just strife in my house. You say that casually. That means you and your spouse are being violently spiritually raped. And it's not something we play with. It's not something we toy with. Man, if there's strife or contention in your home, you violently run it. And I'm just telling you, man, we've got to, fellas, take responsibility. Take responsibility for the strife and contention in your home and don't walk around like you're the innocent victim. Get the tools. You know, that's what's interesting is you learn relationship as a kid from your mom and dad, from different people. But you know what's funny is you go into a relationship, you think about marriage. So many people spend so much time on their wedding and very little time getting the tools to be married. And let me just tell you, man, marriage hits a couple like a wrecking ball if they don't have the tools. And we've got to understand that. And where are you going to get that? No, you know what? We're gonna get it from God's word. Our help comes from above. Man, we're going to go to God's word for everything that we possibly could have need of. The fourth thing is unity. And this is huge because unity is how the kingdom operates. Man, there's unity. You know, it's interesting. It's not people that don't make mistakes. Trust me, as a husband, I've made more than my share of mistakes. And really, honestly, I keep getting smarter and better at it, but I still make some mistakes. And you know what? It's not the mistakes that are the killers. The killers are strife and contention, jealousy and envy, pride and arrogance. Man, those things are the killers. Man, I'll tell you, you know, it's interesting because, man, you see so many people that fall to sin. Man, you don't fall to sin. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You fall to pride. The Bible says pride comes before the fall. Man, what Paul says, except for the grace of God, so am I. Man, we can help you. We can restore you. We can minister to you. Man, God forgives you. Man, let's get over it. Let's get through it. Let's get past it. Man, that's the kind of people you need surrounding your life. Man, people that, man, they're not just there for when you fall. They're there when you're approaching a fall and things are starting to, no, you get help as soon as you need it. Man, that's what keeps us integrous. You know, unity is, we're one. Man, there's so many people in this room. Here's what's interesting. because we learn, maybe even in higher education, we learn how to run businesses and do businesses. It's not good to just surround yourself with yes people. Except, let me just help you. I have people in my life, and I thought about this long and hard. I have people in my life I have never said no to. So essentially, I'm a yes guy. But you have to understand the qualifying steps to get to that place in my life, no one's ever going to use that. No one's ever going to use that for their gain or for anybody's hurt. Man, that we serve a God who's a yes God. His promises are yes and amen. Nothing else hits his ears. See, and we've got to understand this, that the whole unity aspect of our relationships. You know, it's funny because Sandy and I couldn't have more polar opposite tastes. It's amazing. And ideas and the way we think and the way we process, the way we plan, the way we do. It's just amazing. Man, she wants to, we'll go somewhere and she'll want to sightsee. And she's not forthright. She's truthful, but not so forthright sometimes. I'll say, hey, Sandy, where would you like to go eat? And here's where she's not so forthright. She'll say, it doesn't matter. I don't care. Well, I used to take that hook, line, and sinker. I don't anymore. I'm not taking that nice lure, shiny lure that's going by. I understand that's just bait. I'm fixing to get hooked, okay? I'm just going to hold out as long as I can. No, just last night, Sandy said, here's where I want to go. It's like, no, gosh, darn it. No, we're driving, and we go to the alumni dinner at ORU, and then we have to go to Oklahoma City to... And we don't have time to get there. I have to drive to Oklahoma City in like 40 minutes, and we made it on time. And we get there, and we got there on time, and we saw this 90-second cheer event that I dearly love. And then we got to get back in the car and we were giving our daughter Kennedy a ride home with us. Well, she's 17. She's in the car. She's fed. She's in the back seat. She has headphones on. She's asleep. We're driving back from Oklahoma City and Sandy says, this is awesome. I'm thinking, yeah, it is. We're rolling down the road. We're not in a big hurry. She said, this is going to give us an opportunity to talk. Now, trust me, I think on things above, but every word that came to mind was vulgarity. It's like, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. I take and bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. Because it's not so much an exchange of talking. It starts out that way because I've become the prey. And I received the correction. But you know, I say all that picking fun. The number one thing that couples argue about that leads to divorce is money. And in 28 and a half years, I can't think of one time Sandy and I have had cross words, an argument, a disagreement about money. It always is agreement. And I'll tell you, what's interesting is I think that you can start there. The Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, the love of it. So I think when you start arguing about it and you start disagreeing about it, it brings in the love of it. and it becomes a root that's in your relationship. And I think it's important that you're in unity and you start there. And I'll just tell you, men, it starts with you. Man, you have to step up. You have to be able to take the hit. You have to be able to take responsibility. And you know what? I think things can proceed from there.
You've been listening to Guts Church On Demand with Pastor Bill Scheer. Thank you very much for joining us today. And feel free to check out the website at gutschurch.com.